Gun Radio presents The Voluntary Reaction. You've watched the game. Now, let's talk about it. To get on board, call 865-546-8200. This is The Voluntary Reaction. Raw, unfiltered, real. The Voluntary Reaction starts now.
Hello and welcome in to another edition of The Voluntary Reaction. I am Davey Hudson. We'll be joined momentarily by Russell W. Smith and the Bear. We got you set to recap the Tennessee Volunteers 81-61 victory over Vanderbilt. It was one of those games where first half, it was a little bit of a struggle for the Vols. But once the second half came, they really were able to take over and go from there. And I've already had a lot of people reach out, like, what's the tone of the show going to be? Well, we're gonna get started with some basketball talk, and then I'm sure it will gradually change into talking about the Vols football program. What is the latest on that front? But with that being said, at this time, I would like to go ahead and bring in Russell and Bear. Boys, how are we doing this evening?
Hello, Davey. Doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing really well. Shaved my mustache off today, so feels nice there. Slept in and just watched the Vols get a victory, so can't complain. You know, hit the trifecta.
Yeah, man. Any day you beat Vanderbilt, able to slap them around in Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena, pretty good day. So nice work, and I guess Tennessee has now won three in a row since the Alabama game, and just sort of a cruise control type performance tonight, I think. And, you know, Vanderbilt, in my opinion, just not a very good team. Obviously, we have not seen everybody play. I would not call myself an SEC basketball junkie. I've not seen every team in the league play, but it's hard for me to imagine there'd be a worse team than that. Clearly, you know, Scottie Pippen Jr. is a nice player, but once we put Keon Johnson on him tonight, he went away. And he was just a complete non-factor, and they don't really have anybody else that that is a threat. So we do what we have to do. You beat them by 20, really put the clamps down on them defensively, and never much of a doubt. I guess it was a little bit frustrating there in the first half when it looked like we were going to run them. They come back, make a little bit of a game of it. But really, Tennessee was just all over them from the get-go. So Pippen does finish with 18 points. I think he got some of those in guard. I think he was 1 of 6 in the first half. Ends up 5 of 12 for the game. The DSU kid lit us up for 19. But they didn't have anybody else. Like, nobody else really made much of an impact at all. For Tennessee, you had Fulkerson. Really nice game, I thought, by John Fulkerson today. 15 and 8. Springer had 10. Still struggling with some turnovers. Jaden Springer, see if we can get that tightened up. And then Victor Bailey again with a, you know, the guy does a quiet 11. But the player of the game to me, like I said, Keon Johnson, 16 points, 4 of 8. And to me, that is just going to be, that's going to be the tale of our season. Talked a little bit at halftime about what this team's identity is. We all know they're a defense-first team. We get after you defensively. What is our identity on the offensive end of the floor? I think, obviously, Rick Barnes is old school. He wants to pound it inside, and that's always going to be the focal point. Fulkerson, I think Pons needs to quit playing on the outside so much. He's 0 of 3 from three-point range and had some really ugly-looking threes tonight. Get inside, around the hoop. I think that's where he is at his most productive. But then the other side of that is, as these freshmen, Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, continue to develop, this is a work in progress. We've got to get them peaking here in a month or two at the right time. But they're clearly our best players, man. And when they are attacking the rim, I feel like that's when we're at our best offensively. So good performance tonight. I'll get Bear's thoughts this evening as we welcome you to the Voluntary Reaction on Fan Run Radio. Bear, what did you think?
I'm just a real workmanlike kind of grind. just a typical SEC win. Just kind of ground it out. I do like that we have multiple. I like that we have multiple players hitting double figures. I agree with you. Pons needs to quit messing around out there at the 3-point line. I mean, he threw up that one brick that clanged. I bet you could hear that all the way up to the football complex. It was loud. The only other thing that jumped out at me is, and I was glad to see him come back at the end of the game, and he seemed to be moving good. But, you know, Jaden tweaked his ankle again there for a minute and had to come out. So,
Bear, you still there?
Yeah, you guys got me?
Yeah, you cut out there for a bit.
Sorry. I don't know what's going on there.
I thought that was just me for a minute. All right. Good to know Davey and I are on the same page. Continue, Bear.
It wasn't a very exciting game. Mainly, I think, just because Vanderbilt's not very good. It's still kind of weird watching these games right now with, you know, without the crowd, and the players are kind of sprawled out everywhere on the sidelines. But, I mean, I'll take it. It's 20-point-plus win in the SEC. So,
got Florida on Tuesday.
Yeah, we got, Florida, Missouri, and Mississippi State coming up. So,
here's my question. Like, I'm happy with tonight's performance. But when I'm watching this team, the one thing that kind of really I start to question, and we know we have a lot of different weapons, but there still hasn't been that one person, at least in my mind, that has stood out and made it to where, like, let's say NCAA tournament's happening right now. We're down 2 points. We need a shot to either get the win with a three or tie it to send it to overtime. Who's taking that shot?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I mean, I said last week, I think Keon Johnson has got to be the alpha dog. And he gets better every time he gets to the court. And even still today, there was one point in the second half where he got the ball on like a secondary break, does a little Euro step, and misses the layup right at the rim. I think he ended up getting fouled or something on that play. But it's just like, it's one of those plays you watch, you're like, damn. Like, there's nobody else that can make that play. And I just feel like the more experience he gets, keep in mind, this guy did not play for a top-notch AAU team, played a small web school in Bell Buckle, Tennessee. This is by far the best competition he's played against at a regular basis. And I keep talking about peaking at the right time. If we can get it to where he's making that move and finishing the play by making the shot and going to the line consistently towards the end of the year, I feel like Keon Johnson is going to be that guy for us at some point. So we got a lot of guys, Davey. Like, I think we're all comfortable with Vescovi taking an open three with the ball game on the line. I'm sure Barnes wants Fulkerson to get a touch. Like, there's a couple of guys who can get that shot, but you're right. I mean, it just seems like we're getting it from all over the place. I thought Keon Johnson was fantastic tonight, and hopefully that's the beginning of a lot of that to come.
I guess to kind of go against my own argument, the good that might come from that is that the other team doesn't know who you're going to have be that guy. So yeah. If you kind of want to drop a shot for him, you're not going to probably be facing a double team on anyone in particular, or definitely getting that guy's best defender. So, it could honestly just depend on the style of defense you're having to go up against and what their personnel looks like.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, you go back to the 30-win team 2 years ago, and Grant Williams was obviously the alpha guy on that squad. But how many times in a tight situation we see Admiral take the shot? You know, so you can have a Batman and Robin type situation. But it's just, you know, Bear talks about no fans in the stands and how weird it is. It's just been a weird year. It was a weird year in football too. Everybody's kind of playing through it. Obviously, we had a game canceled Tuesday. Probably won't be the last game we have canceled before the end of the season, just if you're playing the odds there. So it's a weird season, and you heard Barnes talk about it earlier this week. He said, look, I'm still trying to figure out what my rotations are. I'm still trying to figure out who I can depend on. He's dealing with problems in conference play that usually in quote-unquote regular seasons, you've kind of got sorted out by now, right? You kind of work and throw those problems through your 12 or 13 non-conference games, and then at least by this time you've got those rotations set, you've got those roles defined on your team, and we're still working through those. Like, we're still trying to figure out what certain guys give us. What is Anasicki's role? Does he have a role? Is he about to get passed by Kamwa? You know, how do you divide up those minutes on the wing between Bailey, Josiah, Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer? What is the balance there? I think those are questions that Barnes is still trying to figure the answer out to. So we've got some time. You just got to keep winning. But this will be an interesting game Tuesday night. You know, it's never easy to go into Gainesville. We've certainly had a lot of success there lately, really since Bruce Pearl got here. I mean, I would love to know what our record down there is. I feel like it's got to be right around 500 at least. And I think you have to go in there expecting to win. Obviously, they've had a tough season too, losing their best player, Keontae Johnson. So this is a game that is really going to be a nice test for Tennessee to see if we can go into Gainesville and get the W. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines here on Voluntary Reaction. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Davey will greet you back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. 546-8200. If you want to jump in tonight, we will be talking football, I'm sure. Trey Wallace is going to join. He was at Thompson Bowling tonight covering the game for Fan Run. So we will be getting his thoughts. He's covering Rick Barnes' post-game presser. He'll be talking to players. He'll call in, and I'm sure we're all dying to hear what he's heard about the football season as Jeremy Pruitt stays in limbo. I guess one note that we probably should throw out there off the top concerning football, Tennessee gets the Big Cat. Big Cat Bryant, the transfer from Auburn, committing to Tennessee through social media tonight. He's an impact transfer, obviously played for Kevin Steele down there on the Plains. Is this the edge rusher Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt, or whoever the coach is, have been missing for a couple of years? I guess we'll find out next year. But this is interesting too, guys, because he played for Shelton Felton in high school down there in Georgia. And the three guys he tags in his tweet reads, "Your leadership and guidance has gotten me to where I am today. Blessed with the opportunity to play on the same field with you again at Shelton Felton. Once my coach, always my coach. Hashtag committed at Derek Ansley, at Jeremy Pruitt." Well, there's very much the feeling that those three, Felton, Ansley, and Pruitt, might not be here much longer. It's just a very, very strange situation. But Tennessee football fan, I mean, we're obviously glad that we got Big Camp Bryant, correct?
Yeah, we're moving on from basketball already. We've only been on for like 10 minutes.
No, I'm just addressing. I mean, this is a big story. Yeah, you know? I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there.
That and the Toa Toa news kind of broke within the last 45 minutes.
Whoa. Was there anything?
What Toa Toa news?
Oh, did you not hear? He's coming back.
No.
Is that official, Davey? Did he say that, or did he just post a picture on Instagram?
Dan Harrelson said he's coming back.
I saw Dan's tweet, and I went and looked. All I saw was he put a picture of himself in UT and his playing gear on Instagram, and it didn't say, like, I'm coming back or anything. Unless I missed something somewhere else. Like, I did not see any sort of – I mean, I guess he doesn't have to have some sort of announcement since he's technically – at the school. Maybe it's one of those things where he doesn't have to announce anything unless he's leaving. But I did not view that as some sort of definitive statement that he is returning. But I'm just reading that.
I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong. I'll take Dan's word for it if that doesn't come back. But his tweet said, "Jeremy Pruitt secures Henry Toa Toa and Big Cat Bryant for Tennessee's 2021 roster today."
Why not?
I'm telling you, Gump's going to be here next year, boy.
Do what?
Gump's coming back.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Stop saying that, Bear. Stop saying
that. I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to be a jerk.
You don't know. You don't know. You're not telling me. You don't know. You're guessing.
No, I'm telling you.
Yes, you are. Wait,
all signs point towards it. I mean, you could do the Roger thing. All signs. You know, yeah.
All signs. What signs?
Yeah.
What signs?
All these guys coming. You got the big cat coming in, tweeting at him. You got Toto apparently coming back now.
I'm sorry. Have you spoken to Donnie Plowman? Have you spoken to Mike Blazier? Have you spoken to Randy Boyd? No? Okay, so you don't know what you're talking about. You're just guessing.
You're guessing that he's going to be gone. I mean, you're doing the same thing, but you're just saying he's not coming back.
Well, I'm looking at the facts. The facts are there's a major investigation into NCAA rules violations.
Have you spoken to Donde Plowman? Have you spoken to Randy Boyd?
No, but I'm looking
to Coach Fulmer.
No, but that says
you're reading
a lot
tea
more
leaves,
to me
just like
than
I
Big
am.
Cat Bryant committing to Tennessee or Henry Toto not transferring. I mean, you tell me what's a more powerful visual.
All right, Russ. I'm not gonna hijack the basketball over, you know.
I'm not gonna let you
get voluntary reaction.
Not gonna let you get me in a bad mood on a Saturday night, Bear.
Well, I can do it.
Ain't no Gump coming back here. Gump's gone, man. Gump is gone. The only question is Kevin Steele gonna be our coach, or are we gonna go hire a real football coach? That's the question. Go to the phones. 865-546-8200. Matthew is up first tonight on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I'm one of 37, and basketball is my stuff, so I'm not going to talk football. I want to answer Davey's question. You know, he talked about if we have a close game with Florida on Tuesday night, I really want to see Keon, as you said, become that alpha. You know, you talked about the 18 team, the 30-win team, and how we had Grant down low, but Admiral took a lot of our shots. I'd really like to see Keon get more involved. Tonight he took 8 shots. I think I'd like to actually see that number go up a little bit higher. Fulkerson went 5 for 6, and he's great, but I'd really like to see some of the younger guard plays. You know, with Bailey coming off the bench, I think it's nice, but I'd really like to see Keon or Springer attack more at the basket and get to the free throw line, because I think that's going to be the key to Tuesday's game. And I'm going to ask a would-you-rather question for you, Russell. Would you rather have a Final Four, first time ever, Final Four, but you have to endure one more Pruitt season, or no Final Four and you get a new football coach? I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, wow. Wow. What a question. Now, I thought he was really going to put me in a bind, because I thought at the end there he was going to say, or would you rather not have the Final Four and get Hugh Freeze as your football coach? That would have really just tied my brain in knots. As he asked you, it's just a new football coach and we don't know who it is. I'm taking the Final Four because I love basketball. We've never been, and I want to go to a Final Four so badly. It would be worth it for one more year of Gump, because we all know he's gone at the end of the year. And then we get our new football coach. So, yeah, I would sacrifice one more lousy season of football. I would endure that if I knew it was going to get me a Final Four appearance this year in basketball.
I'm going to be something to check off the bucket list for sure.
But if you told me we could have Hugh Freeze right now as our head coach with Kevin Steele running the defense, I might just go ahead and take that.
I would go
the Final Four knowing that our football program is back immediately.
Nah, I wouldn't. Give me the Final Four. These kids over there, they've been working hard. Barnes and Dez and, you know, adding Kim English into it. And I can't ever say his name right. Is it Maitland? Strength and conditioning coach. His whole staff. These guys have been working hard for years and building and building and building. And, if for them to get to a Final Four would be well-deserved for a lot of hard work. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. And we basically just not cared about football as a university. So
what do you think, Davey? Final Four or a new football coach? What's more important?
I'd take the Final Four right now, especially just with – how I've grown to really like this basketball team. I mean, football, I keep coming back to this, but right now I just don't trust the administration, even if they were to fire Pruitt, even though I don't want him to come back. I don't trust them to go out and make the right decision as far as who the next head coach would be. So if you're just giving me that option, I'm going to take the Final Four because I have a sense of, well, at least it's Rick controlling the show there, so it's going to work out. Because like you said, I mean, if Pruitt's not gone by this offseason, we know he's not going to make it to next December. Yeah. So I would take that. I did want to add to Matthews, the first thing you brought up. I'm fine with Keon being the guy, but I want him having to drive to the basket there. His shot's not good enough to where you feel comfortable letting him be the guy taking a big-time shot if he's somewhere out on the perimeter. Springer's got a really nice shot. I've been talking to Billy Wilford about this. Apparently last year, Springer, like, his shot just didn't look very smooth. Rick and company have really worked on just having a much purer stroke, not a complete rework, but they've definitely made some adjustments to his shot whenever you watch some of his film from the past couple of years to where it is now.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, and I agree with Keon, his outside shot is it's all right. But, I mean, that was kind of the knock on him coming out of high school was like, look, this dude's an explosive athlete. He can get to the rim. Not much of a three-point shot. Could be developed over time. But here's the thing. We're not going to have those guys like over time. This is it, right? This is the year. And so for our purposes, I'm with you, Davey. Like, put the ball on the floor. Get to the rack, make baskets, get fouled. Both of those guys, I would say Springer has a little bit better 3-point shot than Keon tonight.
Yeah, I mean, with their driving ability.
Go ahead.
I was going to say with their driving ability too. I mean, that gives you the opportunity to have Bailey Viscovi set up on the perimeter to knock down a three if you need it.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, just finishing up there on his Rickard Ridge smoking hot question, the basketball thing. I mean, you think what a Final Four appearance does for this university and for this program. First of all, we'll have that forever. Another forgettable year of Jeremy Pruitt football will be just that, another forgettable year that we'll remember nothing about in 10 years. We'll remember a Tennessee Final Four run till the day we die, right? And on top of that, a Final Four run will beget more Final Four runs. We finally will have broken that glass ceiling. And think about what that'll do for recruiting. It'll put you on the map. Other great players are going to want to come and be a part of the program that put Grant Williams in the league, that put Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson in the league as one-and-done players. I mean, it would just absolutely transform and redefine everything we know about Tennessee basketball. So that very few things that would make me turn down a potential Final Four trip. One other note as we get set to head back to the phone lines, Gene Henley of your Cleveland what does he write for? I'm looking at his Twitter thing. I can't decipher it. I thought he was with Chattanooga. Anyway, he says, heard from a friend tonight that the Bryant kid from Auburn is one of four former Tigers that could be transferring to Tennessee. Former McCauley standout Jay Hardy could be one of them. So more Jay Hardy to Tennessee buzz. We talked about this.
Was Kevin still Auburn's back man?
I'm sorry?
Was Kevin still, in addition to Rodney Garner, also the back man at Auburn?
No comment, but
no.
You and I talked about this. I think we would both welcome Jay Hardy back, despite the hurt feelings from recruitment. We're not in position to be turning down good players.
By no means.
And he's 18 years old. Just let it go, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, this is major college football. You can't get all caught up in that stuff. So if he wants to transfer back home. He's a Tennessee kid. You know, everybody makes mistakes, Russ. You know, I make a lot of them. I've made several since we've been on the air. But, you know, I mean, yeah, welcome him back with open arms. Come on home, Jay.
Let's go back to the phones. 865-546-8200. Your number to jump on. Jamie is next on Voluntary Reaction. Hello, Jamie.
Hey, guys, just to play some devil's advocate, there's a lot of teams with only one Final Four. It doesn't necessarily beget one. You know, it don't mean you're going to get to Maryland, Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon. They've only had one. Can you believe that about Michigan and Maryland?
Yeah, we've had none, Jamie.
Oh, hold on. Can I correct the record here? Michigan has had at least three Final Fours, if not more.
Well, you might be right. I was Googling it, and I'm sure the left has a hold of that by now.
They won a national championship in 1989 with Ramil Robinson and Glenn Rice, and then the Fab Five went to back-to-back Final Fours as well.
Yeah.
You know,
those have
right.
been expunged from the record books, so maybe that's what you're looking at. But, I mean, we all know who went to the Final Four those years.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, Russ, I hear, you know, y'all were talking about that caller that said, you know, would you trade a Final Four one more year? And you said, yeah, because they're going to fire him next year. If they're not going to fire him without the investigation for going 3-7, what the hell makes you think they're going to fire him next year?
Because nobody's going to go to the games, and everybody's going to be pissed off and really angry, and the toxic environment that already exists is only going to compound to get more and more toxic with every week, every passing Jeremy Pruitt loss. And they'll be – I mean, picture this scenario. What's our last home game probably last year? Is it it'll be Vanderbilt at home, right? Picture 46,000 fans – in Neyland Stadium, if that, on a cold November afternoon, half of them booing Jeremy Pruitt, the other half slumbering in the stands, Vanderbilt fans making more noise than our fans. They'll have to, man. You're going to have a new athletics director, a new football coach. There's no way Jeremy Pruitt, I don't think there's any way he makes it to this time a week from now as our head football coach, let alone 2022.
Yeah, Russell, they couldn't even sell out the 20-something thousand seats they had this year in the final game of the year. Like, that's how bad it was.
But, Russell, we were talking about the scenario. So, yeah, I think he's going to be fired too. But just, you know, keep it in the boundaries of that scenario. But got to keep in mind, there were more than 46,000 Tennessee fans sitting out in that monsoon at the end of Butch's four-win year. So
Butch had been fired, though. Butch had been fired.
God, where's my brain tonight?
Yeah.
And John Gruden was at Calhoun's.
Yeah, that's right.
Brady Hoke was our head coach. Do it, Russ.
Brady Hoke was our head coach that night. John Gruden met with Peyton Manning at Calhoun's on the river. A fan nearly got decapitated by a piece of sheet metal that flew off the scoreboard. I remember it very well. Thank you very much.
All caps and no punctuation and no commas or nothing. I remember
that's
the all
the way Brady Hoke talks. If you don't like it, don't listen. I'm the head coach at San Diego State. Thank you very much. I know what it takes to succeed at big time college football. I want you to know how much I want to be your head coach.
Hey, Davey, have you been screenshotting some of these people? We can't wait to fire off tweets and Facebook posts.
I got a whole thing. There's an entire folder.
Jamie, I've got a message for you from one Chance Chancellor. Executive producer of Get Blitzed. He says he's got an outboard drive that's filled with screenshots of silly things you said over the years.
Send them. No. Fire them out there.
Put them out there. We may give Chance a new nickname. He's the accountant because he's got all the receipts.
Put them out there.
Jamie, I will say I am worried for some of these people. Like, they might, like, drink too hard if Pruitt gets fired. Like, that's how upset they'll be for some of these screenshots I'm having to take. It's rough.
That's why I'm just concerned about, you know, the automatic firing of Pruitt next year. Cause he could win six games, and you could hear this sheet base the way, you know, the way former, invoking the name of the late great Johnny Major. Well, he didn't do so good, you know, right off the bat. You know, that kind of crap right there. Is what scares me. The guy comes out and wins six games and gets blown off the field by, you know, the teams that matter. And they're going to be like, but six games? We doubled our wins from last year. Give him some more time. He's getting some of these transfers. Salter's young. I can hear it now. I hope you're right, though. I mean, it's not going to matter, Russ and Bear and Dave. He's going to be gone. Maybe tomorrow. Do y'all give it a better chance tomorrow, Sunday news drop, or?
I would not stray too far from your phones and keep your eyes and ears peeled tomorrow. That's what I would say.
Yeah, are they supposed to? Are the players supposed to show up tomorrow? Because I mean, once you kind of get them already on campus,
they're showing up today.
Okay.
There was a video. UT Sports Vol Football Twitter account put out a video of several players moving into the dorm today, meeting with Jeremy Pruitt and other folks. So they're already arriving.
That seems right. Then Tennessee to do the thing to where we make sure we get them on campus, and then they'd have to find another flight to get back home. So just go ahead and get the guys here, and then we can pull their coach out from under them. I like it.
Yeah, that's so Tennessee. But I tell you what, you know, after what we heard last week for some of the guests you had on the drive, Russ, it's like just firing the guy don't mean they're not going to do the stupidest thing other than keeping him is go intern. That just makes absolutely zero sense. You've known for going on 2 months now you were looking for another coach. There's a good chance you're going to be looking for another coach. You know, there's no reason not to have somebody, you know, talk to and lined up. I mean, we've got too many people, too many good coaches out there that want to be here. And like we said, we've seen it enough in the last 12 years. There's not always a crop of good ones waiting. And even if they are, don't mean they want to have anything to do with Tennessee. So, anywho, we'll see. Looking forward to it. I've got my notifications set for Fan Run and some three in doubt. And hopefully I'll hear something from y'all real soon. Can't wait to get y'all back in there. Y'all hang in there.
Thank you, Jamie.
You guys ready for a potential 7-day work week if we have to go emergency edition of the voluntary reaction tomorrow?
Bring it. Those are fun. Like
done it before. Those
are
again.
Fun. I don't view those as work.
No, I mean, the adrenaline. The excitement of a coaching search, of, you know, officially firing somebody, you know.
I almost feel like, it'll be momentous, obviously, whenever you fire the head football coach. But I just feel like we've already gamed out all the different possible scenarios so much. I don't know that there's going to be much new to talk about because I think it'd just be some sort of milquetoast released about how they've relieved Jeremy Pruitt of his duties and maybe some of the other people, assistants that were involved as well. And Kevin Steele is your interim coach and not much else is going to be said. And then we're just going to be having the same conversations that we've been having for the last 3 months about who's it going to be? Are they going to go to Freeze or Kiffin? Is it going to be Chadwell, Billy Napier? Would you go the NFL route and talk to a Bill O'Brien? Would you bring Doug Marrone in here? All the stuff that we've been talking about for 3 months, and everybody's already got their hard and fast opinions kind of set in, except for Bear, whose opinion seems to change by the hour. But for those of us who've already made up our minds, I don't know that much new is going to be out there tomorrow. You're just going to let that sit there, Bear? No snappy comeback?
Nah, I'll let that one pass by.
865-546-8200, your number to jump in. Sean is next. Oh, no, Sean dropped. Let's get to Brad in Nashville. Hello, Brad.
Hey, guys. So just to touch on the basketball game real quick, it reminded me of a couple of years ago when we were in our 30-game win streak and rolling number one, like 20 deep into it, where we show up. And we look kind of bored for a little while, and then Rick Barnes gets mad at a lot of people and swears a lot. And then we finally start hitting some shots and win by, I don't know, 10 or 20. So we could have – I bet you if we would have played this game on Tuesday and didn't take a whole game off, that 20-point lead would have materialized a lot sooner. But I don't know. We let them hang around a little longer than I was comfortable with. But eventually the better team showed their stripes, especially when, I don't know, Pippen's – kiddo stopped shooting out of his mind. So
feels like we have a pretty mature team too, so I don't think we've got a team that's likely to rest on its laurels very much this season. I'm sure Rick Barnes, perfectionist that he is going to be turning on the film and showing all the mistakes they made in the middle part of the first half when Vanderbilt came back and took the lead on us and continue to work on those. But yeah, that's a good point with Brad, the game being canceled Tuesday. We're a little bit out of practice, it seems like, and it took a while, but we just ground them up. I mean, that was an inferior basketball team to our squad in just about every way. And yeah, I mean, it was a workman like victory, as Bear said earlier.
Right. So that's I don't know, pretty straightforward, and that's the first part of it. So who is this cat that we got from coming out of Auburn? And I guess we gave Tuoto the last $3 we had sitting in the bag to come back for his last season at Tennessee. I don't know, kind of. We'll fly you back first class instead of coach, but that's going to be it. But I don't know.
No comment on that either way. Big Cat Bryant is the, I don't know what Big Cat's first name is. I mean, it's Big Cat. What do you want? And you got a nickname like Big Cat Bryant.
Big.
You don't. His first name, Big, middle name, Cat, last name, Bryant. What's there to not understand?
I mean, I'm sitting on his Twitter account right now. It's at Big Cat. Yeah. We'll just go with it. Big.
Well, hopefully with us picking up Kevin Steele, that's Fulmer trying to pull some Lannister shit and, getting an easy landing pad for whenever we fire him to coast us along until signing day. And hopefully after that, then the real decision gets made. But, I mean, the more and more I see this go along, the less and less faith I have that we're going to make a decision that has any kind of sanity attached to it as far as, I don't know, the future 3 to 4 years of our football team, like wanting to have anything more than 8 or 9 wins at the risk of hiring someone that's either burned us before like Kiffin or has not figured out how to use a burner phone like Freeze or whatever the hell Chadwell did back in the day. I mean, there's, like we keep saying over and over again, there are obvious choices out there that you can just trip out your front damn door and fall into that are just exponentially better than what we've been watching for the past 3 years. And I don't understand. Well, I don't want to understand what I'm watching, but I'm coming to the slow realization that, I don't know, either they're trying to give themselves their own golden parachute or Fulmer's afraid to hire someone that might have been better than he was back in the day. It's a shrinking list of possibilities, and each remaining answer is just more and more gross. But I don't know. You guys have been talking about it, so
keep your spirits up, Brad, in Nashville.
Hey, we got...
I think we're going to get the good news here. And listen, my prediction has been for several weeks now that not only is Pruitt on his way out, but I think Philip Fulmer is as well.
Yes.
And he's, unlike Pruitt, Fulmer has probably earned a little bit of grace with his whole career here. But I think it's one of those things where you might just kick Pruitt to the curb immediately, and anybody, you know, Niedermeyer and maybe a few others that are going to be ensnared in this thing. But like Philip Fulmer, I think I said yesterday on the show, like, just go ahead and announce that he'll be retiring at the end of the school year. That gives you chance to sort of digest whatever the findings of this investigation are and go hire a new athletics director, and who would presumably have some input on the direction of the football program if you don't just hire a new coach immediately. But I have a feeling that, Coach Fulmer's 70, guys. I mean, it's probably time for him to retire. He helped us out of a jam, but he made a terrible decision in hiring Jeremy Pruitt. And I don't think that he needs to make the decision on who's going to replace Jeremy Pruitt, at least not unilaterally like he did with Pruitt.
Markievicz.
Probably not. I mean, the last thing I got to say, maybe we can just make him like offensive line coach emeritus or whatever and give him $500,000 a year to go away. And then the Haslams, maybe they got a taste of winning and want to do some more of it, and they'll bring in some killer that'll hire someone everyone will hate except for the people that want to win football games. But love you guys. We got the dub. And have a good weekend. And talk to you guys soon. Later.
Thank you, Brad.
It's Markievicz Bryant.
Markievicz. That's a pretty cool first name, too. But, I mean, Big Cat, come on, that's good. He had 3 sacks last year for Auburn. He had 1.5 sacks as a junior, 3.5 sacks as a sophomore, and then 2 sacks as a freshman. So he'll be a fifth-year senior playing for us next year. So he's got some experience. I mean, just looking at him 6'5", 250. That feels like kind of a, I don't know if this is a good comparison or not. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Maybe a Jonathan Kongbo type of player. Not great numbers that he's put up. I mean, let's be honest. If he were a spectacular player, he'd be going to the NFL after 4 years in college.
Well, sure. Yeah, and he's got his diploma.
But we need players, man. And we're not in a position to be turning many of them down. 865-546-8200. 546-8200 if you want to jump in as Brad in Nashville drops off. That creates lines available for you. D.R. Vall is up next. Hello, D.R. Vall.
Hey, guys. You know that caller scenario, man? You gotta take the fucking Final Four, don't you? I mean, because odds are, even if Pruitt's gone, you're going to have Marauder still as head coach. I mean, and what's that going to be, 7-5 at best?
Yeah, well, that's why I said, like, he, to really put some oomph into the question, he should have made it, do you want the Final Four and you keep Pruitt, or do you want to forego the Final Four and get Hugh Freeze or whoever your first choice coach is in here immediately? That would be a hard question for me to answer.
Yeah, when you revised it, Russ, I was like, oh boy. Yeah, I mean, we may not. We just have that big Elite Eight banner, if that was the option.
How about this one? Real quick, DR. I'll add in national championship in basketball.
Ooh.
Or you know for a fact you get Lane Kiffin or Hugh Freeze.
Ooh.
Oh, God, David.
Oh, daddy.
God. Oh, I'm kind of with Bear on that because I'm telling you, which, again, I haven't been a fan of Tennessee in the glory days of football, but the loss that stings me the most as a Tennessee fan is that Elite Eight loss versus Michigan State, and that's basketball or football, and I'll never get over that, man. And, Davey, wasn't it you that said you actually cried during that?
No, that one, that wasn't me. That was the one play. Someone asked if I could change any play in Tennessee sports history, I would have the shot against the Loyola Chicago shot not go in.
Yeah. Yeah, that game and the Purdue games up there, man, I don't know, God. I say that about the Natty, but, man, the thought of the Lane train coming back in here. Oh, my God. Well, let's move on because I can't give an answer on that. As far as the basketball game, man, Russ, you said it in your halftime Periscope. Honestly, I thought it was a boring game. I mean, I'm glad we won and we even covered, so it got me some money, but, I mean, it was really boring. And the Big Cat, does that put a little faith in Kevin Steele for y'all? Or not Big Cat, Henry T, him coming back? Because truly, he's not oblivious and thinking that Pruitt's going to be back.
You say that, but I don't. I mean, these kids, they're not listening to our show. They should be. They're
kind of like Paul on Facebook, then, huh?
Yeah, they're not on the message boards and all that stuff. They've got their own things going, so all they know is what these people are telling them, and the coaches are telling them, yeah, everything's great. I'm going to be here. We're going to get this thing turned around. We're better than our record said, blah, blah, blah. We got Kevin Steele now. It's going to be awesome. So, I mean, it's like we said yesterday, and people are like, well, if he's not going to be the coach, if he's going to be fired, then what's he doing flying across the country? It's like, because he makes $4 million a year to do that job. And he has to do it until he's told that he's not the coach anymore. So it's, listen, man, like, I'm glad that he's coming back. I'm glad we got Big Cat Brian. I'm glad that, we still have some decent players that are going to be here, but it doesn't mean that Jeremy Pruitt's been told that he's going to look, if somebody had told him that he's the coach here next year, you would know that. It would have leaked out by now. We would know. But that hasn't happened, and everybody's waiting on pins and needles to hear what Donnie Plowman and Randy Boyd have to say once the Glazier firm's investigation is complete.
Did y'all find it? I know we're all looking into everything. Did y'all find it kind of weird that Pruitt didn't have any orange in that welcome home video that UT football put out there? And don't you love them putting him in that video?
Can we get Jeremy Pruitt, if he's somehow able to survive. Can we get him like a, I don't know, a quick trip to John H. Daniel or something like that? Get him a stylist or something, because yeah, what was he? He was like a blue quarter zip or something. Dr. Ball. I mean, it's just, and listen, I'm not taking shots. Listen, not a lot of handsome guys running around fan run. I'll tell you right there, and I'll raise my hand as a part of that. But still, you're making that kind of money, man. Get yourself a wardrobe that's more flattering to your body type, Jeremy. Come on.
I think it's actually a good thing that he's bald, because if he actually had hair, just imagine how bad it and like how rough it would always look.
Oh, God, it'd be awful. It'd look worse than Harrison Bailey's hair when he first came in. I'm going to end on this. Dave, you'd sit on three and out. I'm with you, man. I want Fulmer fired worse than I want Pruitt. And I'll go to what Phil always said, is he was scared to death. You know, what if Barnes would have left? You imagine Fulmer trying to make a basketball hire of who he'd hire?
Oh, my Lord. Oh,
I'm trying to wrap my head around that. I
mean, Phil has hit the nail on the head. I can't even think of who he would hire. I mean, probably an XFL coach or something. I don't know.
They'd probably give Jerry Green another shot.
No, I mean, I've thought about that. Like, if Rick Barnes just decided – and knowing Barnes, like, that's probably what he'll do. He's not going to say that, hey, this is my last year, and have he's just going to say at the end of 1 year, he's like, I'm done. And that'll be the end of Rick Barnes. And it'll probably be Mike Schwartz would be my guess. You know, if we continue on the trajectory that we're on for a couple of more years – And Schwartz sticks around, doesn't get a head coaching job somewhere else, I would imagine that he would be kind of the logical successor. Mm-hmm.
No, I feel good. Point. I feel good with saying, like, the people that are already within this program. And this was one of the things that I think kind of it really hurt Tennessee, was Fulmer didn't groom anyone to be his successor. You see a lot of these good programs do that. Mm-hmm. Like, in the last couple of years, they'll go out and bring somebody in that they can see taking over the program. You saw Florida State do that with Jimbo Fisher whenever Bobby Bowden's time was almost up. You saw Lincoln Riley come in not too long before Bob Stoops' days were numbered. So it's one of those things where these programs that are able just to kind of keep that momentum going, and that's I say this all the time, but this is one of the things that I think really hurts this fan base, Russell and Bear. When you look at the success that Tennessee had under Johnny Majors and Philip Fulmer, and how you were able just to have two coaches for a 30-year period, that's where this notion of, okay, well, we can't win until we just give a coach enough time. Until we have stability, these coaches can't be successful. Where it's, no, if you hire, stability does not equal wins. Wins equal stability. When you start winning, you have a guy that you know is actually going to be able to win. He's going to create stability around the program. And so these fans are like, man, we've had four coaches in the last decade. No program can be successful doing that. And it's like, well, yeah, I agree with that to an extent, because you don't go out and hire anybody that's any good. But these fans think, man, we had it rolling for 30 years almost because you only had two coaches. And so they got spoiled with thinking like that's how it's supposed to be.
Well, I mean, part of me thinks that is how it's supposed to be. If you have a good coach and you're a good program, you ought to be able to keep him and keep things afloat. I mean, that's how you look at the best programs in college football right now, and Clemson and Alabama, and they've been able to do that. But then you look at Florida, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley's still a young coach. They've been able to kind of transition from coach to coach and have, I guess, varying degrees of success. So it's not a one size fits all approach. I just think we sometimes overtalk these things, right? We overthink these things. It's like, just hire a good coach, man. Just get a good coach in here, and good coaches will beget more good coaches. Say we get a good coach in here and he leaves, take an NFL job or something because he has success. Well, he will have left the program in a better spot than it is now. So we would be fishing, presumably, out of a much better and deeper pool than we are right now. I think that's part of the problem where we are right now, guys, is they're like this narrative that was going around this week about Billy Napier doesn't want our job. Well, he turned down the Auburn job because he thought he might be in play at Texas, and now he's just sitting back basically waiting on LSU or Florida to open, and he wouldn't have any interest in Tennessee because it is such a dysfunctional train wreck. And okay, I'm not saying that's not true, but think about what that says, man. We can't hire Louisiana Lafayette's coach. Louisiana Lafayette, are you freaking kidding me? But yeah, that's where we are.
It's pretty bad.
That's where we are. And like, part of me is like, you know what? That on the surface of it, it's like, oh my God, like that's insane. But I kind of get it. I kind of get it. If I'm Billy Napier and I've got my program at Louisiana Lafayette built, and I know I can sit there and win 10 games a year until the perfect job comes. I'm young. I'm 40. Like, you know, LSU's going to open up soon. You know, Florida is going to open up eventually. Maybe Florida State opens up. Maybe Saban retires and Dabo goes there. You can get the Clemson job where he'd been an assistant before. Went to Furman, got South Carolina ties. Like, I kind of get it. Like, if I were Billy Napier and I didn't have any ties to the Tennessee program, I know he's born in Cookeville, but like, if I didn't have any ties to anybody at UT right now, I probably wouldn't take this job either, just because it's such a dysfunctional train wreck. Anyway, 865-546-8200. Yes, Davey.
I will say too, if you're Billy Napier though, you do have to be careful. I mean, we've seen examples to where, and again, like maybe Tennessee's not a good one, but turning down Auburn, who I know they've had some issues, but I mean, you got to think like Auburn's what, 7 years away from being in a national championship. If you let your shot go, people don't always come back. I mean, you could get stuck. So it's one of those things where I'm curious to see kind of what Napier's end game is. I mean, it could work out for him, or he could end up being the head coach at Louisiana Lafayette for the next decade. You never know. Cause I mean, that's what happened to Greg Marshall, even though, I mean, obviously he was crazy and this is a basketball example, but I know he kind of got Wichita State up, but he got to the point where it didn't really seem like anyone was ever going after him.
Yeah.
Cause he didn't take his chance.
And then we just get back to, I mean, that's one frustration is that we might not be able to hire the guy anyway. But the other and larger frustration to me is this. You've got two highly qualified candidates that have enjoyed some success already as head coaches in this league that have obvious ties to your state and school that want the job. And granted, they have baggage, a lot of it. Not downplaying that at all. But, man, it would be we talked about earlier what happens to bring Pruitt back and my projection of 46,000 fans at your final game, just an all-time low of enthusiasm and fan engagement. And the other side of that is you bring in a guy like Freeze or Kiffin, and it's the exact opposite. I mean, we're talking about enthusiasm, fan investment, emotional, financial, and otherwise, and the wins that would almost surely be coming as well. But it doesn't seem. Davey Bear and I have pretty much in agreement. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to fantasize about. It would be awesome, but it's not going to happen. And perhaps we'd be better off just not even doing that to ourselves by talking about it and getting our hopes up.
I don't know, man. The letdown's hard, but you just gonna have to set yourself up to where you can have it, but as long as the ultimate, I guess, realization whenever it finally does happen, as long as you just don't let that get too far in front of you, I'm fine with. That's a tough one. I don't know.
It's fun to live in your hopes. It's no fun to live in your fears. There's so much. There's so much uncertainty when you're talking about the Billy Napiers, the Doug Marones, and that stuff. And listen, like I don't dismiss anybody out of hand, but there's so much risk with these guys who've never been a head coach in the SEC or in their NFL retreads or whatever the case may be. And it just seems like this is a situation that you really don't want to take a risk, because that's what we've been doing. And you want to,
you have
more of the sure thing.
I guess I see what you're saying. I feel like the last, you know, really big hire we did was Kiffin.
It was.
Yeah.
You know.
But we were in such a better position at that time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we were only 2009 when we made the hire, and actually we made it at the end of 2008. We were a year removed. We hired Lane Kiffin basically a year, 12 months after we were in an SEC championship game. Right. So, and people talk about, this was always one of my criticisms. There's a lot of Lane Kiffin revisionist history out there, right? Everybody's like, oh, Lane Kiffin was so great. Lane Kiffin went 7-5 with a team that had 5 NFL draft picks on it. Right. He inherited a program that was pretty loaded. Granted, they had a bad year in 2008, but there was no shortage of recruits on that team. We all know what a mess he made of our quarterback situation, turning away Taj Boyd and Bryce Petty. Like, I'm not saying that I wouldn't take him over current circumstances, but it was my point, Davey, was it easier to hire Lane Kiffin, who was the hot, sought-after candidate at that time, than it would be to hire the hot, sought-after candidate this time around. I don't know who that would be, Sarkisian or whoever.
That's very true. I will say on top of that, though, I guess, I don't know, there are a lot of people that I wouldn't necessarily say, like, oh, it was so great when Kiffin was here. The thing that people do remember, and I do this believing true, was just the excitement that he brought to the fan base and how he made people just feel like, even though maybe a game wasn't going, but you at least had an idea of kind of like, he had an identity. That's one thing like we just haven't seen in a while here. It's like, all right, well, I take that back. Pruitt has an identity. There's no identity. I don't know what I'm doing. That's an identity in and of itself. But with Kiffin, I mean, you knew it was going to try to be more of a high octane offense. And that's what he's been doing now. Obviously, yeah. He's the game has actually kind of been crafted more to how he's operating than I would say most coaches. So that's to his benefit. And right now, I mean, I think there's a big difference in going back to the Saban coaching tree, where he's really rehabilitating someone versus someone that's kind of only been developed under him and maybe just had a few years outside of that as a head coach in general. Like I mentioned Marshall earlier, and then I saw it pop up on the talking about Greg Marshall, but the Marshall Thundering Herd looks as though they're hiring Huff. So that's another Saban guy that's now going to get his shot. The associate head coach and the running backs coach, I think it's Charles Huff.
Okay.
I think that's
so crazy, man. So they fired a coach who is the reigning, whatever conference they're in, was the reigning coach of the year. But he'd been there for like, that's the one I really don't understand.
Yeah.
Why they did what they did.
I don't know, unless it was one of those things where like, all right, we've kind of gotten complacent. That they won their first 7 games and then lost 3 straight. So I might be curious if something else was kind of happening within the program outside of just the win-loss record, but I don't know enough about Marshall to talk on that. But yeah, Charles Huff is his name, 37 years old, regarded as one of the top recruiters in college football. This is according to ESPN. Mark Schlabaugh put this out there, but he helped develop running back Saquon Barkley at Penn State and Najee Harris at Alabama. This is his first stint as a head coach at any level, or at the college level.
I'm guessing he has some sort of West Virginia tie as well. That's usually what
says he's from Maryland.
So he's in Maryland right now, right?
In the vicinity.
No, he's a native of Denton, Maryland.
Huh. I don't know. I've never heard of the guy.
Let's see here.
865-546-8200. A couple lines available here on voluntary reaction if you want to jump in. Tennessee, 81-61 victors tonight against Vanderbilt over at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center. And a ring of the Volunteers turning their attention now that the Commodores have been dispatched onto a Tuesday night matchup with Florida in Gainesville. Not a great start by Tennessee, but they finished the first half strong and then just come out and really put their foot on Vanderbilt's neck in the second half. Tennessee with its patented suffocating defense and a little wrinkle we saw tonight, Davey, a little 1-2-2 full court zone press from Tennessee. It kind of, I don't know if it's a matchup zone or what that it sunk back into, but
I enjoyed seeing that.
A little wrinkle.
Got the trap going.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some length and would like to see that. Tennessee, obviously, a really good half-court defense team. We'll see if Barnes does anything to extend that and get things going. Keon Johnson, one of the better nights of his young burgeoning career so far, a career-high 16, 4 of 8 shooting, getting to the free throw line a lot, 7 of 8 at the line, and made the only three-pointer he attempted. Also had 3 assists, 3 rebounds, and a steal in only 21 minutes for Keon tonight. And
really? That's all he had?
Yep. And in addition to that, I thought probably his biggest contribution is one that doesn't show up in the box score, which is he just got up in Scottie Pippen Jr.'s grill and pretty much took him out of the game while it was still, I think he had some points in the second half, but not much of a factor while the game was still in doubt. Bailey, again, Tennessee, giving Tennessee a spark there, 15 points, 3 of 6.
Got some style. I like it.
Nice left-handed stroke. And now, as I say, Tennessee turns their attention to the Gators. Let's go back to the phones, and Dave is next. Hello, Dave.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Pretty good.
What's up?
Dave, are you there?
Who's Dave? Dave.
Looks to be that way.
Sorry.
Dave, call back.
I can't hear you.
All right.
You know, put him on hold, try somebody else.
Yeah, we'll go. We'll keep moving along. Dave, if you're listening, call back.
Don is up next on Voluntary Reaction. Hello, Don.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Don. What's up?
Oh, well, just another 20-point beat down, and then listen, everybody complain.
Sign up a healthy program, Don.
No, I'm like, okay, everybody's got warts here, guys. Let's see. And 20-point win over a Vanderbilt team that lost to Kentucky by 3. So, you know, I thought the defense just was amazing in that second half. I mean, when they put that press on, it was over. I mean, you know, they couldn't bring the ball up court and find anybody open. Had to hit a few desperation shots. But good gosh. I know everybody's kind of wishing we had Pete Maravich or somebody take over a game, score 40, but as long as you got 3-4 guys scoring 15, 16 points, that works pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't
think. No, I mean, good points, Don. Like I don't want anybody to think that I'm unhappy with the effort. I mean, this is like I said, it's the sign of a healthy program, and you're playing your in-state rival, and the game is a little boring as several callers. I mean, we're just out there chewing them up, man. It's taking care of business, and I think it's just a sign of how high the expectations for this program have become. Yeah. And I think there's an element of our fan base where we know we've got a good team, and we know we're going to win most of these SEC games that we play. And we're just kind of looking at it and say, okay, what does this mean for March? Will this effort that we saw tonight be good enough to win against a really good team in the second round of the NCAA tournament? And we're all just sort of projecting forward to what's going to happen in the postseason.
Yeah, I understand all that. I mean, but I think we get too excited sometimes over one game or too critical over one game. My point is that, Vescovi scores 23 the other night, and he's a big reason why he did win. And he scores 9-10, whatever it was tonight, and he hits 1-3, and everybody wants to bench him again. And I heard the same thing right before. The thing about me is you don't know which one of these guys is going to go off. You pretty well know Fulke's going to do what he does, but you don't know if it's going to be Vescovi or if it's going to be James or if it's going to be the transfer kid that scores 15 or 16 every night or if it's going to be one of those freshmen. I think everybody wants Keon and Springer to be so good, that's what they, the only place they focus. I think it, as long as you've got a couple guys that are hot on a night, regardless of what the rest of them do, you're going to be in pretty good shape. I've watched a lot of basketball last few weeks, and some of the teams that I think some people thought we might be stronger have not appeared as strong nationwide, and some of the ones have kind of been surprising. A couple of weeks ago, it looked like Auburn was just dead in the water, and they get one kid eligible. Now they're going to be a handful, and of course, they wouldn't come on our schedule before they got him, right?
Hey, who's that?
The
point guard at Auburn, yeah.
Hey, you don't have to worry about playing them in the SEC tournament.
Do what now?
You won't have to worry outside of the regular season, you wouldn't have to worry about them.
You don't think so?
I know so. They ain't going to be playing in it.
Oh, I would, right. Well, yeah, they're not eligible, but I'm just talking about in general. They'll be on our – I mean, we got to play them this year, and I just mean it's always our luck that they get a great player after they've lost a bunch of games to other people, but we get to play them with a great player. That's just kind of the way it works around here for the most part. But I don't know. I'm enjoying it after that crap that was on the field all foul. I mean, I get frustrated when we shoot bad and don't do what we're supposed to do. But, talking about teams making the tournament and everything, I cannot – can you believe that Alabama's still not the top 25 guys?
That's absolutely insane.
And it's not because of strength of schedule stuff. They were flashing where they were today, when all those different, things that you're looking at. And they don't have a bad strength of schedule. They don't have bad RPI. They don't have bad anything.
They're 26, Don.
Yeah, they'll probably be in it. They'll probably be.
Oh, they'll probably be this week.
Yeah, this week. But I mean, you can't tell me they're not one of the 10 best teams in the country right now.
Oh no, they have to be. I mean, I noticed, when Tennessee won two in a row and slid back, and I looked and I see a team with three losses. It's like six in the country, and I'm like, what? What are they talking about here tonight? A lot of it built on reputation, a lot of it. I mean, like Michigan, finally, man, they jump them in there and they jump them right up there. And, well, didn't they get beat today? I'm pretty sure. Unless they made a big comeback. But that's basketball. A lot of times basketball to me just comes down to which team is hot from the floor.
Minnesota beat Michigan today, Don.
I'm sorry?
Minnesota beat Michigan today.
Yeah, Minnesota's not exactly, great team. So it's what I mean. And it happens to everybody and every team Kansas, I don't think anybody expected Kansas to have 3-4 losses right now. And we'll get a shot at them if COVID don't get us here in a couple of weeks. But on the way out, guys, so Big Cat Bryant's coming over to play, huh? And so, hey, did anybody, I know on the transfer from Virginia Tech quarterback, how good he looked. Anybody watch any huddle video on our preferred walk-on quarterback today?
I
can't say that I have.
I'm sorry?
I have not.
Go watch it. He's the kid from North Carolina, 247 guy before the year. And of course, you know how North Carolina, COVID, and all that stuff is. You know, really projected him out good. And his huddle looks fantastic. 6'4", 210, big arm. I think completed 70% of his passes. I think he'll be pretty good in the quarterback room. I think the quarterback situation next year, with the transfer coming in, Sauter coming in, this kid on top of Harrison Bailey's, it may be the best quarterback room we've had in 7 or 8 years. I mean, it's still got to be proven on the field, but from where we've been, I think so. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I just think with your intent, not to pile on JG at this point, I wish him the best. I hope he does. I hope he tears it up up there at Washington State. But I just think there's so much negative attention focused on him. I just think with that gone, it'll give everybody a fresh start, and hopefully they'll be better. Yeah, so. We still got to see, you know, is Winkie going to be around? Who's going to coach that position? There's a lot of unknowns still there. But I would agree, Don, that a fresh start, some new names in there and everything will be good for the overall program.
Okay, guys. Well, I appreciate it. And let's just get ready to go win some more basketball games. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Don. Good to hear from you. So, Davey, the Auburn situation, I knew they had self-imposed an NCAA tournament ban. They're not going to play in the SEC tournament either?
Here, this could change. This is my take on it. I don't believe they're eligible. I'm about to go double-check that. I'm pretty sure it's just a postseason ban, so I don't think they're going to play there. I don't expect an SEC tournament to actually happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, me either. I thought I'd read a was there not a did somebody it, I don't think it was a tweet. I think it was an article. Somebody had raised some serious doubts about you know, them being able to have conference tournaments.
Which seems a little odd to me. It's like, what if you could find one hotel, you go to a city, Atlanta, Nashville, wherever you want to have it. Put all the teams in the same hotel for the whole week, and don't let them go anywhere, basically, except the arena wherever you're having
games. You're gonna quarantine these kids for 2 weeks before they hit this hotel?
Well, I mean, you're basically doing that now, theoretically, and like you test the players before they all arrive there, and you're testing during the week and everything. It seems like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like it should be that hard to me. But
I wonder if they're getting, if the NCAA is looking at it as, you know, the last thing the NCAA needs is to try and have the conference tournaments have some kind of, you know, issues at, you know, one or two of these conference tournaments, and then it wrecks the, you know, the big one.
Well, yeah, but I mean, couldn't you say the same thing about the NCAA tournament that you just said about the SEC tournament? Like, who's going to quarantine the kids before they go to Indiana for the NCAA tournament? So
I have no idea, but the conference tournaments aren't worth almost $1 billion to the NCAA. You know, the big dance is.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I think they're going to put all their eggs.
But the SEC tournament is. That's not small money. Either, but
I don't know why, as a Tennessee fan, you would be wanting
listen,
tournament.
You cancel the SEC tournament right now. That's fine with me, man. You can cancel the SEC tournament forever. I mean, we're not going to win the damn thing. Let's go and get beaten by this Vanderbilt team that can't play dead in Western that we saw tonight in the SEC tournament. Sounds like fun. Because you know that's what's going to happen. Either that or we get all the way to the championship game and get smoked by Bama. I'm sorry. I said I wasn't going to be negative tonight.
I'm pretty sure that the Auburn postseason ban is for the SEC tournament as well. I can't find anything directly saying that, but, I mean, everything goes back to Auburn has notified the SEC and the NCAA of its decision to forego the 2021 postseason. So.
Go back to the phones. I think we got Dave back. Dave, are you with us?
He's not here now.
Dave.
Yeah. You guys watching the Buffalo game at all?
Yeah, I've got it on.
It's very,
yeah,
speaking of boring. Very boring affair. It's all right. I took the under.
Do we think that the Ravens, I mean, I know this doesn't make any Titans fan feel better, but perhaps their defense pretty stout?
I mean, yeah, their defense is pretty stout. I don't really know. Like, I mean, if you were to tell me to who would I put money on to win it from here on out? Like, as far as just this game in general, I don't know. I mean, both teams' defenses are playing well. The offenses are struggling. I don't know. I would probably say, like, I don't like the Baltimore Ravens team, but I hate the Buffalo Bills fan base. So I really don't know who I want to lose here. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's this has not exactly been an offensive masterpiece. Davey, Titans fan, tell you, I know you follow this a lot more closely than I. What are we going to do for an offensive coordinator now that Arthur Smith is off to the Falcons?
You know, that's a great question. I honestly don't know where they're leaning. I personally think they need to go out and get a defensive coordinator as well. So that's two coordinator hires they need to make. I mean, with Arthur Smith, he was a guy, like I'd kind of heard about whenever Matt LaFleur left for the Packers job, of them just promoting from within, and that Arthur had been making some noise amongst the ranks there as far as being a guy that would be a good predecessor for LaFleur. And obviously that turned out really well. I mean, you know, I give the Titans a lot of grief for how they've handled offense the last decade overall, but I mean, whenever this is Vrabel's third year, and he's already had two offensive coordinators get a head coaching job. So that's really good on his part, at least for the offense doing something of merit. I don't know where they're going to go. I did see, just as news in general, the Steelers are making Matt Canada their offensive coordinator. And Arthur Smith, now that he's in Atlanta, I've heard that he's going to be bringing Titans former defensive coordinator Dean Pease out of retirement to be on his staff in some capacity. Not 100% really sure what role that is. Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised there, because once COVID had hit, Dean Pease had been talking about how he was looking for the opportunity to travel and stuff, but obviously he wasn't able to do that, so he was kind of ready to actually kind of get back in the game. So this move doesn't shock me. But yeah, this week I was planning on doing a lot of digging to find out what the Titans might be looking to do as far as offensive and defensive coordinator positions go. We talked about it some on 3 and Out on Friday. Actually, I don't know if this was on air or off air. I usually get those conversations mixed up. But Wade Phillips has said he's ready to retire from retiring. I think that would be an incredible guy to go out and hire if you're Matt, or if you're Mike Vrabel. Wade Phillips, I mean, he was the DC when the Rams went to the Super Bowl. He was DC whenever the Broncos won the Super Bowl. So he has really made some noise. And I mean, if you're Vrabel, yeah, that's, you want it to be your defense in a way, but at the same time, man, like you saw this year was a real struggle. And so if you could go out and get somebody of Wade Phillips caliber to lead your defense, I don't know what you're waiting on.
How about throw a name at you? About Doug Peterson, Andy Reid disciple.
I'm fine with that. I mean, the Titans, their key pieces are in place, and I think he could actually do something really well. I honestly might expect to see him interview for a job here or there. There's still a couple of positions open, so I think if you could get by the time period of where once all the head coaching vacancies are filled. And if he doesn't get one, I would definitely go out and try to hire him. I mean, you'd probably be losing him if your offense continues to play really well, but, I mean, I'm all for that. And the guy's a championship-winning head coach, won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. Like,
yeah.
Those don't come around very often.
No, he's going to get a look, I would say, for some of these open head coaching jobs as well. Did you guys read the Sports Illustrated piece today about all the dysfunction within the Texans organization?
I haven't read that piece, but I know that it is very bad over there.
I haven't read it either. I've read enough of the you know, the tweets where they kind of give a couple of highlights of it. It sounds like it's completely insane. I mean,
great
it sounds
piece
a lot worse
of
in Tennessee.
Investigative journalism, man. They have, yeah, that it's not quite now. I read it this morning. Everything I look at as far as like dysfunctional organizations, as a Tennessee fan, you view it from a very personal lens, right? You're always comparing it to our thing. And I don't think there is dysfunction. I know it's a totally different thing when you're talking about pro sports and owners and GMs and all that stuff, but you've got Deshaun Watson, great young quarterback who you just signed to a massive contract extension before the season, making him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And at the time, and how do you go from that to now he wants to leave within just a few months?
Horrendous management personnel decisions. I mean, they traded away his, you know, his favorite target and one of the best receivers in the NFL, and DeAndre Hopkins. And I mean, he still somehow led the NFL in passing yards, didn't he?
Yeah.
There's some really, really weird stuff going on down there.
Oh, yeah. They've got this I don't think he's not the GM, but some guy who's like
Castanero?
Easterby.
Yeah, he's like spiritual advisor or something. And Bob McNair was the longtime owner of the Texans. He passed away recently and kind of handed it off to his son, who's, I don't want to call him an idiot or anything, but it seems like
he's an idiot.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, he's thrust into a very difficult situation, and he's made some head scratching hires. Yeah, I mean, you've got,
I don't know if the stuff that I'll read it after we get off, but the little bit that I glanced over, he'd make Jimmy Coach and shorts look like the, you know, the Rooney family.
Well,
his name's Jack Easterby. The first article, whenever I search his name, just says Jack Easterby is Littlefinger. An inside look at Easterby's role with the Texans. That's the first article I got when I typed in his name.
Chaos is a ladder.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. 865-546-8200. Voluntary Reaction, Saturday night edition. TK is up next. Hello, TK.
How's it going, Russ? Long time no see.
Yeah, how you been?
Not bad. What about you?
Hanging in.
You know, you had one of my favorite guests on y'all show yesterday, CG. And he brought up a good point about, you know, how he was talking about it's time for UT to sack up and make the right choice.
Yeah.
That actually had me thinking. The Titans, they had Mike Mularkey, who had just won a playoff game in probably double-digit years for us, and he refused to change his coaching staff. So what'd they do? They sent his ass packing, made a risky hire in Mike Vrabel, and the rest is history.
Yeah, what is the risky hire for you that Tennessee should make in this situation?
Well, I'm just saying they ain't got the facts to even fire a guy like Mularkey who just went to the playoffs to begin with.
Yeah. It's a tough comparison, but I just think Tennessee's at a point now where we have this discussion as if there's some sort of debate about, well, should we fire Pruitt or not? And I realize that from a fan's perspective, yeah, it's only 3 years. Maybe he needs another year, whatever. My opinion on it is, unless what I've been told about this investigation is just completely wrong, and I guess there's a chance of that, but I doubt it. I don't think they're going to have a choice of whether or not to fire Jeremy Pruitt, because I think the NCAA is going to be sniffing around on this thing. And maybe if he had gone 7-3 instead of 3-7, we might be sitting here and, you know, let's fight for him. You know, we got to fight to keep our coach. We don't want to lose it. Like Bruce Pearl back in the day, we didn't fight for him. So why would we fight for the guy who went 3-7? This is almost a get out of jail free card to me, because we might not have to pay him the buyout. And so I just don't think that there's much debate about whether or not, oh, we got to be bold and fire him. I think you're going to have to fight. I think you're going to have to fire him, TK.
Well, I can answer your question to the difference is, you want to know what it is?
Sure.
The two best hires the Titans ever made was Amy Adams Strunk and John Robinson, both who actually give a damn about this state. And you got Philip Fulmer, who plays the fake shit that he likes UT, but really all he likes is the limelight and the money.
I don't know if that's fair. I mean, I think Fulmer likes you. I think Fulmer loves UT. I mean, I think he feels it in his bones and in his blood, just like all of it, more so than most of us. He's made some terrible hires. He made a terrible offensive coordinator hire with Dave Clawson back in the day, and he's made maybe one of the worst hires in the history of college football in Jeremy Pruitt. To me, that doesn't gloss over his fine coaching career here, but it does make it to where you can't let him hire the next guy. And we need to move on. We need to freshen up. It didn't work out. I'll be mad at Jeremy Pruitt and think he's a clown after all this is said and done. I don't necessarily feel that way about Philip Fulmer.
Here's my thing, Russ. And people say it's a rumor, but CG brought it up yesterday, and I think it's actually true. There's a reason he wanted Barnes to walk too, because he can't stand a coach being better than him up at the university.
Yeah, maybe. And we'll never know whether he wanted Barnes to walk. I hope not. But I can see why some people would think that. I'm glad he didn't, and thank God for Randy Boyd. Randy Boyd saved our basketball program when he stepped up and helped raise the money to keep Rick Barnes here. And here's hoping that he's about to save our football program as well.
And, you know, you brought up another thing about the times about the OC job. When you got a smooth oil machine like that over there, you don't even stress about the hires they're going to make, because you know it's going to work out. And, you know, that feels good to have at least one team that could do that.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, go back to that Texans thing. That Easterby guy, he came from New England, I'm pretty sure. And the GM they just hired, Caserio, comes from New England. Everybody wants Belichick is to the NFL as Saban is to the college game. Everybody wants to hire somebody from that system, which...
Well, they all come from the same. They're off the same tree.
But you're
Parcells
not
Parcells tree.
Yeah, and we make too big a deal about the tree. You're not getting the roots of the tree. You're not getting the guy. You can't hire Nick Saban. You can't hire Bill Belichick. They're not leaving their jobs. And I think it's a fool's errand to think that just because you hire somebody that worked with them, that you're going to get similar results. Now, are there exceptions to that rule? Yes. Jimbo Fisher has had a fine head coaching career. And there are a couple of others with, you know, do we put Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian on the Saban tree? I don't know. That's debatable. No. But the Titans got lucky, TK, and we hired John Robinson, and he's been pretty good. He's had some misses. He's not perfect. but I'm with you. I trust him and Vrabel to make a good, competent offensive coordinator hire. I'm not worried that they're going to bring in their Dave Clawson or their Jeremy Pruitt. They've proven themselves to be pretty good evaluators thus far.
You know what's funny, Russ? And this actually just popped in my head. UT doesn't know who they're going to hire as the head coach, but the Titans hired Vrabel and the dude up at Green Bay the same year and had them both come in for the head coaching job.
Yeah, like John Robinson, as far as who he was looking at to be their head coach, he had guys that he definitely thought could be a young and up-and-comer, and both of them have been successful. LaFleur's first year, he made it to the NFC Championship, lost to the 49ers, who was a really good team. And now this year, he's the favorite to win the NFC this year, and they're going back. They just beat the Rams pretty handedly in the divisional round. And so, yeah, Matt LaFleur, 2 years on the job, 2 years making the NFC Championship, has a year to win, or an opportunity to win the Super Bowl this year. And Mike Vrabel, I would say his situation coming in wasn't as favorable as LaFleur's, but so far you're not done worse than 9-7 in a regular season. So it's hard to complain about that.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna act like I was high on the Vrabel hire when it happened. I was probably as confused as everybody else, but that dude can coach. No matter what he looks like, he's a meathead, but that dude can coach.
Yeah, I was iffy on it too. I said it the other day, but yeah, I was really hoping they went with Matt LaFleur whenever they were making that decision. I was nervous on the Vrabel hire as well. He's definitely had some growing pains, but he is a first-time head coach, but you at least see him learn from his mistakes. I can't say the same thing for Jeremy Pruitt.
Did you hear anything about the Steelers coordinator that came in?
Yeah, it's Matt Canada. They hired.
I'm talking about the guy the Titans interviewed.
Oh,
a few days ago.
No, I
didn't hear
heard.
Anything after the.
Nothing since the interview. No, I thought you were asking who the Steelers hired, but yeah, no, I don't know. Russell mentioned it as far as maybe looking at Doug Peterson. If you want to go with another former head coach, Anthony Lynn's looking for work. I would be fine with that as long as he's not managing the game. That's my biggest knock on Anthony Lynn is just don't let him manage the game. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
I saw where Vrabel already turned down Wade Phillips, so we ain't got to worry about that one.
Really? I didn't see that. I would like for that to be a hire they look at.
That dude's got to be up there in age, though, isn't he? He's got to be mid-70s at
least. Oh, he is. It's not a long time, like a long-term thing, but if Vrabel's still wanting to have a big grasp on the defense, and then let Wade come in and not give him the entire thing.
Yeah, if we're going to go that route, let's just bring Pease out of retirement one more time.
Well,
if we go to the Super Bowl.
Pease is going to Atlanta with Arthur Smith.
Oh, man. That sucks. I would have liked Pease come back one more year here.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job as well. By the way, one other NFL note for you. Marion Hobby, former Vol, has been hired as the Bengals' new defensive line coach. So congratulations to him, man. He's really carved out a nice niche. Had himself a very nice coaching career.
It's too bad we couldn't have found him a spot on our over Tennessee.
Was that Clemson for a long time? Been in the
part of their national championship teams.
Yep.
I got a question for you, Russ, or Dave, either one. Where did Gerard Mayo for a head coach job come out of the blue?
He's done well, and there's good word about him coming out of New England, and kind of like Russ said, he was with Belichick, so everyone's going to give him a look.
Okay, because I was under the impression he just started coaching, 2 years ago there or something.
Yeah, I want to say this might have been his first year.
That's what I thought. He ain't been coaching long.
So the Eagles are trying to go with the, like, the definitely the young and up and comer type look, because I think their other main candidate is Joe Brady. So they want, like, that up and coming. Like, they're definitely going high risk in whoever their next coach is going to be, at least from what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah, Joe Brady, not exactly bathed in experience himself.
Hey, yeah. Bear, how are you doing? I ain't talked to you in forever.
I'm doing fine, TK.
You kind of disappointed me the other day with not knowing what number Mayo wore here, though. I got to be honest with you.
I mean, you've kind of disappointed me with, you know, I don't know. You disappoint me every time you call, TK.
Yeah,
I mean,
TK, you've disappointed Bear with, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
All
wouldn't
that,
be the first
all,
time I left really them lost for words.
I mean, what the hell? Go ahead, run his ass. All right. I can't listen to this anymore. I just got messed with you a little bit, Bear. It's every time you call, man.
Yeah. I ain't even talked to you in over a week.
Come up with some new material. I mean, unless David just wants to sit here and leave you on with me, and I'll really start ripping you. I mean, it's up to you, Dave. How bad do you want this to go?
What time is it? It's 9:40.
I mean, how else do you want me to get?
I'm not
going to
keep
y'all
on forever.
TK, I hope you have a good weekend, buddy. Take care.
Yeah,
all right?
Y'all too.
Thank you, TK.
You happy
Roy,
Bear.
You guys see the wind in Buffalo right now? It is wreaking havoc. There's a punt
that's ripping through there.
I saw Tyler Bass just shank one to the right, and then, I mean, Justin Tucker.
I think he just got caught in the wind.
But Justin Tucker, it carried right, and he got a doink.
Well, yeah, and Lamar Jackson just threw a pass, like, over the middle, about 30 yards downfield, that just basically stopped in midair. So the conditions in Buffalo playing a factor right now.
17-mile-per-hour winds out of the west, according to my iPhone, Russ. Looked like it was blowing a little bit harder than that.
Yeah. Oh, they show the flag. It looked like it's about to rip off the pole. All right, boys. Wrapping up voluntary reaction. It has been a pleasure, as always. We'll go and watch the second half of this playoff game. What are the games tomorrow? You got KC and Cleveland.
And the Saints and Tampa Bay. The old man bowl, the old dude bowl. Brady versus Breeze, who have not met in the playoffs ever.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, Brady's been in the AFC his entire career, and Drew pretty much outside of his stint in San Diego at the time. I mean, he's been in the NFC with the Saints.
Yeah.
Together at last in the playoffs. Looking forward to that. Guys, anything else we need to talk about?
I hope I'm talking to you all tomorrow. I mean, it's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah. It'd be nice if we had to do an emergency voluntary reaction tomorrow. I don't know. There's just been so much weird news with, Marquise, the big cat?
Markievicz.
Have we ever gotten anything besides Harrelson? Because I went and looked at Toa Toa's Instagram post. He never really says he's coming back. I mean, there's like 100 comments of people begging him to come back.
Yeah, I feel like that was quite the lead. Not to take a shot at Thunder Dan Harrelson, but I feel like that's quite the assumption there. Now, he might come back. I hope he does, obviously. But I did not take that as some sort of "don't worry, I'm all of all" type post.
Well, I was messaging with some folks earlier, and they opined that they didn't understand. Let me see. Let me pull it up here. He didn't see Henry Toto leaving ever. So, you know, that's somebody I really trust. Got his finger on the pulse, so to speak, over there, Russ.
Well,
when it wasn't Geraldo.
Let's hope that this time tomorrow, 9:43 Sunday evening, we're preparing for the work week ahead and a Tennessee football coaching search, baby.
Was Shelton
a tradition
Felton,
like none other?
Was Shelton Felton a coach for Bryant when he was in high school?
Yes, I believe he was his head coach in Conyers, Georgia.
Gotcha.
Shelton Felton, what a hell of a name.
Well, Shelton, he's found himself. He's had a rough couple of months here. I understand he is a focal point of this investigation, but I believe he has had, I believe he has interviewed with the Bobs, as we've been calling them a couple of times.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. I thought it was all needs.
Oh, no. There have been several. Derek Ansley is caught up in this thing a little bit. And maybe a few others, but I mean, it's not like they're looking at one thing, and they've been probing pretty much all aspects of Jeremy Pruitt's program.
Probing is such an ugly word, Russ.
You ever been probed?
We've talked about it on the drive before.
That's probed. As Dr. Jellyfingers, I think probe is like when there's a foreign object involved, right? Or is probe just standard prostate exam a probe?
Oh, sure. What do you mean like a probe? Like, you know, like what do they call it? Like an endoscopy or a...
Yeah, they stick a camera or something in there and I look around. You ever had that?
I mangled the end of one of my fingers and they kind of had to probe around in the meat of it to dig all the bone out.
Oh, God.
That wasn't any fun, amongst other things. So it was a bizarre gardening accident, much like it's kind of a spinal tap kind of thing. I've not really been probed a lot. But in all seriousness...
What about you, Davey Hudson? You ever had the doctor stick his finger up your butt?
Can't say that I have.
Oh.
It's only a matter of time, my friend.
What year did or at what age do they say you're supposed to get your first prostate exam?
What is it? It depends on if you have a family history.
Yeah.
If you have family history, you start early.
It's like mid-40s or so. I got one because this is kind of embarrassing, but I have to pee a lot. And so they're like, oh, we gotta check your prostate. And next thing I know, I'm bent over the table. It's wet and wild, my friend. But luckily, no issues there. They're just like, yeah, you're probably drinking too much caffeine. I was like, really? You couldn't have just told me that was a possibility, and then we try that first? Try and cut down the caffeine? Like, we immediately go to the glove? Well, like, that's your...
Yeah, you go to the glove. Don't you remember when our longtime friend of our show and friend, just about everybody meets in Knoxville, Jim Raganese, said, early detection is the best prevention.
Well, yeah, and
it's incredibly curable if something's wrong.
And this is an awkward conversation to have. Like, I don't know if the doctor is just trying to make me feel better as I stand there pulling my pants up, and as I stand there pulling my britches up, feeling quite different about myself. But he goes, "Yeah, you got a real nice prostate, nice and smooth."
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's. I'll never forget that. I was like, "Yeah, thanks." Bye.
So, how old are you, Davey? What are you like? Are you 30 yet?
I think Davey's working. Hold on, guys.
I'll be back in a second.
Well, okay. Maybe he's.
I think Davey's late 20s. Mid to late 20s.
Well, yeah. I mean, he just graduated from law school, so he's got to be mid, at least mid. Mid. He's moving towards 30.
Sorry,
so.
Guys, I was on the phone. I'm 26 years old.
Hmm. Yeah, you gotta get a little years while.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll be all right. I mean, it's really, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, if we're being honest, I mean, it's what, Russ? It feels like it's 20 minutes, but it's probably like, what, 10 seconds? Maybe, you know, 10, 15 seconds.
It's so rough and not gentle.
But the consequences of not getting it checked and something happening, I mean, who wants to carry around, you know, a plastic bag of your own shit for the rest of your life? And that's if they catch it and they're able to, you know, save your life. So
that's a good point.
You know, everybody get checked if you need to.
Speaking of prostate exams, let's bring in Trey Wallace.
What are you doing that to Trey?
I don't know. It just seemed like the most awkward segue that was possible.
In honor of the most awkward person at Fan Run. Trey, have you ever noticed how on voluntary reactions, Russ is mean and I'm nice, but during the week I'm mean and Russ is nice?
Yeah, it's very awkward. It's like you're medicated on the weekends. I don't quite understand it, to be honest with you.
Somewhat. I just blew off some steam. TK had a rough phone call with me, so I've caught my second win now. I'm in a little bit better mood.
I'm happy for you, buddy.
All right.
What's going on? How are y'all? Anything going on today?
That's what we want to ask you. Anything going on today?
Kind of a quiet day. All the early enrollees got moved in. I guess word finally came out about Osvet interviewing, which, you know, he did that middle of the week. That's nothing really new. Looking at
we didn't talk about that. We have not mentioned that. Joe Osvet, tight ends coach here, interviewing with Central Florida for their wide receivers coaching position.
And if you remember, that's where Brandon Johnson just ended up at. But I was told he interviewed there Tuesday afternoon. So he's interviewed there. Derek Ansley has interviewed at a fair amount of places over the last 2 weeks. I know Auburn had reached out. I know Oregon has reached out. I know Texas preliminary reached out. Looks like they decided to go a different direction, but, some guys on the staff are just trying to, you know, if things don't go right here, they want to make sure they're good somewhere else. So I don't blame them. Good for them. But if Pruitt's back, I see Osadep back. So I can't say the same for Ansley, though. That one's kind of weird, getting kind of interesting now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he seems like he's really, really looking hard to leave. I mean, we've heard his name connected with at least three jobs and probably more if we knew the whole.
Well, I've heard put a lot of feelers
if
out.
If I'm Ansley, guys, or if you're Ansley, are you not wanting to just jump back in the NFL so you don't have to deal with any of this recruiting shit and just go back to just being a professional football coach?
Bear, I don't disagree with you. And talking with some folks, it's more or less, man, you can make almost the same amount of money in the NFL than you can what he's doing in college. And you take out the recruiting part and you take out the everyday grind, especially being around Jeremy. And that is what it is. A lot of college coaches are like that. But, you know, I don't know how well it was perceived, the steel hire, you know, with Ansley. It's like, I was having this conversation with somebody today when I was on campus for a little bit. It's like, you got three defensive coordinators now. Like, you really have three defensive coordinators on your staff. Yeah. And you can't tell me that Jeremy's not going to be the one that if he's back, he's rolling with everything. So,
yeah.
So how do you think it would play out? I mean, can you imagine the meeting rooms on the defensive side of, hey, let's run this. Nope, we're going to run this. Nope, guys, sorry, I'm Jeremy Pruitt. I rule over all of you. We're going to run this. So I don't blame him for looking around, when he does. And I guess,
Other news, Big Cat, which is that's a nice little pickup right there for Tennessee's defensive line. And you know this, Russ and Baird, Davey, a unit last year that they never, and I'm glad we're on late night so I can say this, usually I say monster. Tennessee just never had that FU kind of guy along their defensive line. Somebody that you knew that on third down was going to be able to make a play and get to the quarterback. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever, talk with some folks today, if Jay Hardy ends up in Knoxville. So they're kind of adding to that front, which I think is big for Tennessee's defensive future. No matter who's coaching it or who's where, you got to get some of these guys, man. And, yeah, but other than that, early enrollees today, getting on campus, getting all moved in, exciting time for them. We'll see how exciting it is over the next couple of days, if it is or not. And, a good basketball win. I mean, that was a nice business outing tonight, Russ.
Yeah, I mean, just grinded them up. Vanderbilt's not very good. You should beat a team like that by 20 points, I think. But it was good to just kind of, you know, get through this game. And
Fulkerson. Fulkerson getting his wisdom teeth out on Wednesday. And the guy's back on the court. And he's grinding out there. And
he what?
Got his wisdom teeth out this week.
Oh.
Did not know that. That's
That
was not a fun procedure.
After the season to do that?
No, he said that it was hurting him leading up to the A&M game, but he said after the A&M game last Saturday, you know, it was really bothering him, and he was kind of, you know, he wanted to play Vanderbilt on Tuesday, but he was kind of thankful that it didn't happen so he could have more recovery time after doing that. And he came out and played really well in the second half. I give him a lot of credit. First half, he had 6 points, I think it was. And but it's, you know what I found interesting tonight, guys? Who was the first off the bench tonight at the forward spot? Wasn't Anasicki anymore. It was Olivier. And I think that might go to show something right there.
Yeah, Anasicki, I know Barnes has already said he's coming back next year. I hate doing this because, again, we won by 20. We shouldn't be nitpicking that. We're not very good.
No, but he can be nitpicking.
We're not very good when he's on the floor, man. Like, no. And Kamwa is by far, he's a little unpolished, but you do see, I mean, he's got nice size. He has some decent touch. I'm wondering if this time next year he isn't a much better player. But
Olivia's got movement to him. You know, Davey – you know, and he just, you know, I watch him on the court. He's, you know, and look, Anasicki can get down to the post and he can bang around all that. But Olivier feels like he has a little movement with him. He can get to the top of the key, in a sense, make that pick, be down the streak, down the middle. I liked it tonight. Injury update. I know y'all saw Jaden Springer come out with an ankle injury. He was helped off the court. He was walking around, cheering on his team, doing all that stuff along the bench. So, looks like he'll be okay. And, I mean, other than that, it's just that's a very, very nice win. You know, Kentucky loses today. Okay, now you got to go to Florida, which Florida is kind of sneaky, decent sometimes, and then bad the others. So, you know, it was a good win for how about Victor Bailey tonight? Like, he got hot. And I don't think without his little 6-point little stretch right there back to back, I don't know if it's a 20-point game tonight. I think Tennessee might have been sucked into a dogfight.
Mm. Yeah, I know. He's been a nice find and a nice pickup for sure. So it's a good win. Trade's a big one Tuesday night at Florida and go on the road. Gainesville, it's a big game, big opportunity for Tennessee.
Yeah, man. And look, I hate it because of college basketball this year. It just really doesn't feel like college basketball. This is the first game that I've gotten to go to, you know, so it's the first game of the home game of the season, because of COVID and whatnot. And, the crowd tonight, man, it was just weird. I don't know how to explain it. They pipe in this crowd noise, guys, that you really can't even hear the crowd noise. So I don't even see the point of having crowd noise. But it's just kind of awkward. I don't know how to put it, but Tennessee overcame all that. And, you know, with Florida, they lost today to Mississippi State, 72-69.
Nice.
You know, and they've gotten beat by, in the last four games, Davey, they've gotten beaten by 15 points to Alabama. They've gotten beat by 18 points to Kentucky. They beat Ole Miss, but then lose to Mississippi State. So you got a team that's 1-3 heading into a big time matchup on Tuesday night. And I would think Tennessee should take advantage of that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a struggle. Kind of a little Tennessee tie there, but Florida's leading scorer right now is Trey Mann, who the Vols were in on. Yeah, since Johnson went down, he's kind of been their go-to guy.
Good Lord have mercy. No, that goes to show you. And then, kind of back on the football front, I know everybody's talking about. Bear texted me during the game, and I never thought that Henry Toto wasn't coming back to Tennessee. Like, this is not.
He's great enough, Trey. You were. I used one of your lines. I was messaging with some folks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it never just felt. I don't know. I mean, you go out there and you make this gander trip out there to California. It just, and they were only on the ground for an hour and a half. So, I mean, they walked in, sat down for 40 minutes, and then got right back on a plane. So it just, it's never felt like Henry Toa was going anywhere. And that's why I don't think it's a big deal. Like, I don't, whatever.
It's colossal. It wasn't waste going. Of money. Why couldn't they have just FaceTimed him? Hey, coming back, right? We'll see you on Monday.
Well, maybe they had other business to take care of in Southern California. There.
What? Ansley's interview with Oregon? Or that whole trip was done.
I'm just having fun.
If he's just coming back, because, I mean, you heard Christopher Gabriel talk. I mean, Santa Clara is in the top five on the planet right now for.
They've already had it. Pruitt and Ansley have already had it. Like, I get it. He's your best player, returning player. If he's even so much as having a minor infatuation with another school, you get on that plane and you go over and get in front of his family and beg him on bended knee. You do what you got to do.
Oregon players. There's a couple Oregon players that were going pretty hard at Henry over the last 3 weeks. One was, and you got to excuse me, it's late, the linebacker, Noah.
Yeah, Sewell. Well,
very, very, very going hard at Henry. But I was also told USC players have been hitting up Henry pretty hard to come back. So, look, I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, if it goes up there and you secure Henry to come back and whatever, I guess it's a nice little coup, but I don't feel like it was, you know, I just feel like more is being made out of it than maybe it needs to be, but Henry Toto coming back is good for Tennessee's defense, and they only got better, and I think they'll add a couple more spots. And now we just wait. Right. Just wait on what the hell is going to happen with this damn investigation.
There's Gene Henley from Chattanooga said that Big Cat could be one of four, as many of four Auburn players that might be looking at transferring to Tennessee. We've already talked about Jay Hardy potentially being one of those guys. Do you know the other two players that might be in that group?
Well, and look, I'm not going to act like I know their names because I don't cover Auburn for a living. But I will say that they've had, if I'm not mistaken, they have had four defensive linemen enter the portal over the last 2.5 weeks. So it wouldn't surprise me. I'm honestly trying to look it up as we go right now, who's technically in the portal for Auburn. But no, it wouldn't. Okay, I'm sorry. Daquan Newkirk. He was also a defensive lineman. He committed to the Gators. So I don't know. I don't know if four, but I think there's a damn good possibility that there's definitely two that would transfer to Tennessee. So, and that's big too, because you've got guys like Ronnie Garner, maybe, that comes on staff. You know, you never know. But Kevin Steele is big. And another thing too that a lot of people maybe aren't paying attention. You know, I know Dylan Brooks was a player that, you know, Tennessee really coveted when he signed. I think adding Kevin Steele was just kind of the capper on top of that. If he was wavering in any bit about Tennessee, because Kevin Steele and Rodney Garner were his main recruiters when Auburn was making that last ditch run over the last 5 months. So that's good for
Trey,
Tennessee.
Sorry to interrupt you. Do you expect?
No, you're good.
I mean, is it going to be? Do you expect us Tennessee to make a run at Rodney Garner, or is this something that's going to happen maybe after all this stuff shakes out from the investigation and Pruitt?
Or do you think
either way, if Pruitt's here or if he's not, that would you be surprised if Garner ends up here at Tennessee?
No, I wouldn't be surprised. Somebody from on the Auburn beat reached out to me today, and we were just kind of talking about the coaching staff. And, you know, they hired Tracy Rocker. But Garner's contract, technically, if we want to get technical, is not up till the first month of summertime. But it would not surprise me if Kevin Steele got Rodney Garner away from Auburn, and then they just reached, you know, a little agreement. Hey, look, you've already hired another coach. Why the hell do you need me here? Type of situation. But if I'm Rodney Garner, I mean, let's be honest with you guys. I mean, if I'm Rodney Garner, if I sign with Tennessee and Auburn lets me, here's the big difference, Bear. Auburn technically has not let Rodney Garner go. So Rodney Garner is still collecting all of his fat paychecks that he's owed in his buyout, technically. So until right. Auburn lets him go, if I'm Rodney Garner, I'm sorry. I don't just give up those payments. Now, if you want to do something like Kevin Steele did, sign for $300,000 here, whatever, 2-year deal, and then, you know, you get the rest of it in the offset language, then that would be a smart move. But I'm just not going to let Auburn off the hook, you know, for their money. I'm going to make them pay me either way. And I think Kevin Steele, if I'm not mistaken, is actually back in Auburn. He is not in Knoxville. Last night on their way back, from California, they did make a stop in Auburn. Yeah, they made a stop in Auburn, probably to drop them off, and then the rest of the crew comes to town. And most players will start returning this afternoon, tomorrow, just starting to get ready for classes midweek. I'll be interested to see if any players decide not to return over the next 2 days as Tennessee starts to get their winter program going. And also they lost, let's not forget, they lost Shaq as well in the strength and coordinator room, so they'll probably have to fill that spot with somebody. Maybe Kendall Moorhead steps up in the strength and conditioning program. So lots of stuff that's still out there that needs to be settled, and I think the big thing would be Jeremy Pruitt, because technically what? His interview was Thursday, so – you know, I would expect the Glazer group and them put together their final report, spent the day Friday doing it, probably billing the hell out of Tennessee while they're doing it, and then hand it over this weekend and let Dondi and Randy Boyd take a look and their general counsel, and, you know, maybe we get a confirmation tomorrow or maybe Monday, or maybe we just never get a damn confirmation and they just start hiring offensive line coaches, defensive line coaches, and that would be the most Tennessee thing ever. So nothing would surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if they're going to fire him, I mean, they're like, obviously, they'll announce that and they'll move on. But if they're going to keep him, and we talked about this yesterday on the drive, I think you just have some sort of announcement of you know, we're continuing to look into compliance matters, but we're moving on with, you know, we're looking forward to spring practice as Jeremy Pruitt hired.
No, it could be.
It
could be simpler than that. We have, we've concluded our, look, here's the other thing too. I don't think technically this thing is like concluded investigation wise. Yeah. Like this, they're still going to be investigating, but you could say it as we've turned some things over to the NCAA.
Yeah.
The
investigation, you know, just because Glazer and those guys are done, you're still going to have to present that. As far as I know, you're going to have to present that to the NCAA and any penalties that you're self-imposing as well at that point. I mean, they're not getting out of this unscathed.
No,
and at
no.
that point, the NCAA gets to decide whether, okay, it's good enough, we accept your self-imposed penalties, or no, it's not good enough, and we're going to investigate ourselves. And at that point, it could drag on for a while.
Right. It drags on for a while. You know, did the NCAA come back and say, okay, this is what we agreed to or what we don't agree to? Then later on down the road, Tennessee could say, okay, well, we want the independent counsel group, you know, to come down with a, you know, whatever a punishment would be. Like, what I'm getting at is that this is going to take a while. Like, it took Florida 9 months, 10 months to come up with like a penalty, but really what they did was the NCAA just accepted them. They had already penalized themselves. So they kind of worked up an agreement with the NCAA, which I kind of expect that to happen here in a sense. John Bryce reported that the NCAA was in on the meeting via Zoom. So, I mean, there you go, folks. I mean, the NCAA has been involved in this. They've been asking questions. They've been relaying those to Tennessee Compliance. Tennessee Compliance has been figuring out the answers to those questions. And now we sit. And I wouldn't expect this thing – let me rephrase that. Mayor Russ Davey, I would hope this damn thing, at least from a wording-wise, does not span out more than 5 or 6 more days. You need to make a decision if Jeremy Pruitt is your head coach. And if he is, you need to worry about getting the rest of that staff together. Worry about who else you're going to take in the transfer portal, and try to start preparing for spring. Because, you know, these coaches don't have anything to do of the, let me say this the right way. It's now being on Wednesday, the program will be handed off to the strength and conditioning folks. So technically these coaches really won't have much to do what goes on over the next 2.5 months till they get ready for spring football. So you would hope things are wrapped up in a sense of knowing a direction. So, but I am not surprised, I guess, leaving it at that. I'm not surprised they're sitting here on Saturday night at 10 o'clock and there's no answer yet. I always thought it was going to take them a couple days after they finished up an interview with Jeremy Pruitt. So.
All right. Well, we'll see if there's any news tomorrow. And if not, should be another interesting week of Fan Run Radio next week.
Yeah, that's right. Hope y'all have a good night. Davey, how you doing, man? You good? Been drinking?
I'm pretty sober tonight. I've only had a 6-pack, so we're doing pretty good.
Congratulations, man.
No, I'm just kidding. I haven't been drinking tonight.
Oh, well, that's progress. That's good.
Night's still young.
Yeah, it's only
I only sad drink.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, the Titans aren't playing anymore, so you're good on that point.
So if they announce Pruitt coming back, how much will you drink?
Oh, good God.
I don't know if there's a way you can quantify that, Russell.
Half a
keg. I'm thinking like Bear in his 20s type drunk.
I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know. I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
All right. Good stuff, okay. Trey. Have a great rest of the evening. We'll talk soon.
Hey, guys. You guys are good. Love y'all. Talk to y'all later.
Take care, buddy.
See you, buddy.
Trey Wallace has left the building, ladies and gentlemen, and that gives us a chance to wrap things up. Parting thoughts as we close out Voluntary Reaction, a night when Tennessee puts up a 20-point beatdown of Vanderbilt. That should not be lost in all this. Always fun to slam the doors. Bear, give me a closing thought or two.
Solid win. Like you said, a beatdown. Always enjoy beating the crap out of Vanderbilt and shoving their nose in the, what did you say, making them touch the white dog poo. As far as the football program goes, hopefully we'll be talking to the three of us tomorrow. So,
ooh,
just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm going to go and hop in the sack, man. I'm going to conk out because I think there's at least a decent shot.
Yeah, I'll be watching the rest tomorrow of this game from the bed.
These things tend to happen on Sundays.
Yeah. Yeah.
Davey, you got any closing thoughts for us?
I actually do, Russell. I wanted to say, as it relates to the basketball game tonight, I was very happy with the second half performance. I also wanted to point out that Tennessee led, or I guess that they won the assist battle 18-6. Anytime you can do that, that should spell out good things for the team. But just the guys that were able to get there, I mean, when you're looking at the breakdown as far as Vol players that had 3+ assists, you had Keon Johnson, you had Pons, Springer, and Vescovi all have 3 assists or more. And so whenever they're able to get the ball around, not be selfish, find the extra person, that's just going to breed success. And so I was really happy with that performance ultimately overall. Yeah, there's always some things we can get nitpicky with, but it's a lot better, I'll say, making the comparison, to be able to get nitpicky with a few things here or there with your basketball program that is a top 10 team in the country versus your football program, which is a bottom 10 team amongst Power 5 programs. So I do like that. And as you guys have both said, hopefully we are here tomorrow. I do want to actually get the Jeremy Pruitt taste. Just get it over with. Like, it's been bad enough. That smell just lingers, and I'm just ready for one to either lose my sense of smell again or taste, because I've done those both over the last couple of months, and I would actually welcome that whenever it comes to the Jeremy Pruitt conversation. So hopefully we're making a change there. But as always, I was glad to talk to our callers. Glad Trey was able to get in, speak with him again. It's been too long. And Russ Bear, as I always say, I enjoy doing these shows with you boys.
Always a pleasure, Davey. And I guess we got Missouri next Saturday for ours. John and Hayden should have you for Tuesday night after the Florida game.
The game's at 8:30 Saturday.
8:30?
Oh,
wow. Well, I mean, these late night shows are fun, man. They get a little loose. I mean, you never know. We might spend a couple of minutes talking about our rectal exams.
It's a good point.
I get a little cranky late at night, I'll admit.
You could have just left off the late at night part, and your sentence would have still held up just fine.
I get especially irritable after like 9 o'clock. Ask anybody that's ever worked with me, worked nights with me. I can turn into quite the monster. So,
all right. But, well, anyhow. Stand by tomorrow. We might have one of our, the Shiano Sunday 7-hour broadcast. Still, people listen to that on our SoundCloud page. And I mean, that still gets a ton of people are always listening to that thing 3 years. So you might get to witness history if we get to take to the airwaves tomorrow. So just stay tuned, stay around social media and everything. And news breaks out, we'll scramble to get somebody over to the station and get on the air and get after it for you right here on your Fan Run Radio app. And the web stream should be a lot of fun. Vols win tonight, big game against Florida Tuesday night. We continue to keep our eye on the Tennessee football situation. For Davey and Bear, I'm Russell Smith. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. Have a great and safe rest of your Saturday evening, and we will talk again soon right here on Fan Run Radio.